Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. This week's iTunes review is brought to you by M.L. Martel. She writes, 5 stars. Kim is more than just knowledgeable in just health and fitness. She is supportive, reassuring, and on the level. She gives it to you straight, just the way most people need it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate that review. And you too can review Fit Girl Magic Podcast. Just go to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to this show. And just leave me a 5-star review. I love them. I take them to heart. I just want to make sure that I'm bringing you the best stuff. So thank you so much for all of you who have left me a review so far. I can't wait to highlight you. Hey, Magic Makers. Today is a different kind of conversation, but I think it's a conversation that we all need to have. And my whole goal with the Fit Girl Magic Podcast is that I want this to be conversations that you and your girlfriends are having. And this one, I am sure you and your girlfriends have been having since you were about, I don't know, 12 years old. Today is all about dating and men. All right, I'm going to make it general. Dating, and you decide who you date, the partner, the spouse, the person you choose, but it's all about dating. And I have are the pleasure of having Miss Melissa Ledger. She is a writer, speaker, broadcaster. She lives in New York City, and she talks all about men. So please welcome Miss Melissa Ledger to the show.
Hey, so glad to be here. I'm so excited.
Yeah, Melissa and I have been trying to schedule this thing for God knows how long. And here we are on a Saturday trying to just get shit done.
That's right. That's right. Saturday morning. Here we are. We're dedicated. So yes, let's do this.
Yeah. So Melissa, before we dive in, because I have so many questions, but before we dive in, how did you start with this work?
I started because I was so frustrated, like so many women are, of what's going on with men and dating and ghosting and thinking you've met the one, and then watching this beautiful romance turn into a guy that's, you know, sending you one word answers or doesn't want to come over all of a sudden or is acting cold. I think that was the biggest thing that would make me feel like, what is going on? Like, how can it go from being so great to me feeling like I'm clawing up a cliff trying to get like any kind of response from the guy that I thought was the perfect person for me? And so it started with a breakup that was just like, you know what, that's just it. Like, I'm just over this. I need to figure this out. And I started doing research and I started reading. I thought I was doing this huge dramatic thing by going to therapy. I'm like, I am going to go to therapy. That is it. I am just, you know, it's just so, right. So funny to me to think, like, I thought that was like, you know, if I'm going to therapy, it means it is severely wrong, which now I say, even if it's just slightly off, I feel like all of us need to be going to therapists just because it just helps you with your perspective and getting your mind straight. And that's exactly what started to happen. My therapist started getting my mind straight. I started doing research. And through that process, I came up with the concept gumball love, which we could talk about more, but it really was just a point of frustration and really just not finding the answers I was looking for in the books that I was reading. It was like, I would read books about relationships, but I would just have this feeling like, I feel like there's something else. I just don't think this is the answer, but I didn't know what the answer was. And I never thought I would come up with something new. Like, just this whole idea just still boggles me that, like, really, I came up with this? Like, me, I just remember where I came from, and it's still crazy to this day.
Well, and it's funny, like, just like you, like, we've all had a problem.
be it health, fitness, money, relationships, we've had a problem and you've like went to all the experts and you're like, does this really work? Like you felt like something was off, but right. you know, just like everyone out there who's come up with a new concept, you've basically looked at all the existing concepts and you're like, is there a blend? Is there something that it needs to go down a further hole? Like what can I do? Because I feel like I still don't have the answer.
Yeah. And the thing that I realized is I would read advice and then I would go to the people that I knew that were happily married and I would tell them what was the advice that was in these books. And they would look at me like, huh, okay. Like, I mean, and they were, you know, nice people. They would think like, but I could just tell it didn't resonate.
Right.
And that bugged me. I thought, okay, so why are people that are happily married not resonating with this advice? Like if they don't apply this, then there is a missing link. And that was my biggest clue. And I kept testing that. And I thought, okay, well, and really the advice out there says, if you change X, Y, Z, and you do it this way versus that way, then you will attract men. Anything, it was all the stuff is like, how to attract a man? How to be this. So it's like how to attract a man. Well, if you're not attracting men, then you must be doing something wrong. So you need to change who you are to be something different to then attract a man. But I can tell you the short version of that is if you change who you are, then you're not really authentically you. So the guy you attract isn't attracted to the real you, which then ends up being something different. And then you become the real you anyway. Eventually the real you comes right. out, you know?
And as soon as you said, you have to change. Okay. I was like, okay, think about how many women and even men, it's on both sides. You yeah. present yourself, especially with all these fucking dating apps, you present yourself as the like best package out there. Like you've checked all the boxes. Mm-hmm. Then eventually your acting role, it gets boring, it gets tired, and the true you starts to come through. Mm-hmm. You're yes. no longer the, you know, prolific person with emails and texts. Like you are the person who typically texts back K.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You're not no longer like, whatever you want to do, sweetie. Like it's like, okay. And you're mm-hmm. like, what? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So I think that my answer and what I feel like so many women have gone through, and I know your podcast and your audience is the over 40 crowd. So that's perfect because over 40, you've had relationship experience. Maybe mm-hmm. you've been divorced. Maybe you've been married twice. You have kids. You feel like so many women are like, ugh, I'm not doing that again.
Right.
I'm worn out. I'm tired. And it's because you're tired of always being, you're always trying to be the support system for the guy. You're trying to give him attention. You're coddling him. Like we're tired of becoming what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I think if at this point you're over 40, you're like, okay, I'm done with that. And I do think there's something magical about turning 40 because it is the shift in our minds, I think, where we start to go, there is a shift in like so many things, right? Like I'm going to wear this. And, you know, someone said, you're like, what did she call it? You're a basic white girl if you're wearing Uggs and you're getting Starbucks coffee. And I'm like, oh my God, I must be basic white girl because I'm getting Starbucks and wearing Uggs. And I'm like, you know what?
You don't care.
I don't care. It's like, because Uggs are warm. I don't have to wear socks and I still want coffee. And so if that makes me quote unquote basic, which is a term that is clearly not in my, if we're over 40, this like, what does basic mean? You know, it's like, I don't even know, but I think it just means like you're vanilla. You're not really that interesting, right. But see, I don't care because I'm not doing it for a fashion statement. I actually feel like I look like a bum when I'm wearing my Uggs and going to get my coffee, but it's like basically slippers.
Right. And Starbucks is on every goddamn corner.
I know. So, and it's on like, my corner too. I'm in New York City. So it's literally like a hop, skip, and a jump. So I look like a homeless person a lot of times going to get my coffee. But yeah, you get to a point where you don't care, but then this man piece is a mystery. Like, what do I do? I've dated, I've been married, I've had all these experiences. And I think what a lot of us have not done is we have not explored our own identity. So yes. Don't become somebody different, but actually get to know your true self, which I think is, it's like kind of becoming cliche, the whole self-love, self-care, it's getting like overused.
Oh God, yes.
And, but it's not about a bubble bath. I mean, you got to have those in there. That's great. But it's more about really asking yourself, do you even like this music that's on? Like, you put this music on, but do you hate it?
Right.
Are you annoyed by it and you're trying to pretend like you like it because you think you should? And then why are you doing that? And it's questioning those things and really getting congruent with, yeah, I do hate Josh Groban, which I do. Like, I can't stand that kind of vibrato music. It's like, okay, shut it off. Like, I'm so annoyed with it. He has a beautiful voice, you know, God love you, Josh Groban. But if I have that music on, it's like, I want to like strangle something. So knowing this about yourself and going, okay, I don't like this music and it's okay. Cause I had an ex-boyfriend that loved Josh Groban. And so I had to like, I found myself trying to pretend and then finally being like, I just don't like this. It's not where I want to be. And so all these little decisions, when I take girls through my academy and my online mastermind, we do this. We go through like almost creating your personal brand and asking yourself all these questions, because the problem isn't becoming what men want. The problem is not attracting men. The problem is we don't know who we are. So we're dating and we're trying to chameleon in the spirit of compromise. And that's not a compromise. You know, you don't want to compromise yourself for compatibility. You need to know who you are so that someone can compliment you. Right. And that's the journey that I wish every woman was on, because then the men you meet, you're going to always attract men, but then you're going to attract and start to gravitate toward the people, actually people, even your business associates that are more in line with who you are and congruent with how you feel. You're just going to feel more naturally yourself. But I think a lot of people don't know who that is. So they're on a dating app struggling through a profile because they don't really know what to write, because they're trying to like think, well, what should I put here? Because there's not a definite feeling like, yes, this is what I'm going to put here, because this is exactly how I feel and who I am.
Right. Or, you know, they think if I truly put down that, you know, I hate this versus that, am I going to attract anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of the biggest things I always say is like, you want to repel people more than you want to attract, because, you know, I'm sorry, I ain't got time.
Yep. Yep.
And I know for me, you know, I'm fortunate that, yes, I'm happily married, but I don't know if I could be on a dating app right now, because in my head, I'd be like, I listen to a lot of true crime. And I'm like, oh my God, is this guy going to try to put me in the trunk? And am I going to end up as a true crime story?
Right. Yeah. It is scary out there. I mean, I think that for me, online dating is something that I gave up, I don't know, a year and a half ago, because it just was not congruent with, I would go on and I didn't like looking at all of those profiles. It's kind of like going on Facebook and just looking at profile after profile of strangers and the sadness in their faces and the energy vibe. I just was like, I want to do something different with my time. And it just, I want to meet people in an organic way. So that's everyone's choice. But I think online dating does attract, or it allows for insecure men to come, and women too. It allows for insecure people to communicate in a, what I call a low volume way, where they're not, you know, they can say K and what up, or sup, or, yeah. You know, it's like this guy's, I always picture them like laying on their couch watching football, like scrolling through, and there's like, hey, sup, sup, sup.
Right.
Like, probably. No, I'm not answering that. You know, like, so if it's a low energy, low volume, low effort guy, he can get away with that because women are responding. Because when you're online dating, you kind of get in this weird world where it's like, I know he said sup, but he looks decent. And you start going like, well, he looks like he has a job and, you know, he's nice looking and he works out. Like, your standards get lower and lower because right. You get kind of used to this little universe of online dating, and we forget where our standards should be and living a more high vibe, if you will, or like high frequency. Like, I like to think of, I don't want to be around or be in that mindset of thinking in a low vibe way. Like, I don't message my friends, what's up, or hey,
right.
Or, you know, I never even say hey to people I know. You know, I'm like, I always introduce like, hey, how you doing? Thinking of you, blah, blah, blah. Like, I always have a message. So it gets back to self-respect too. If I respect myself, I choose to communicate in a way that feels good to me. So right. If this man is sitting there communicating with this beautiful woman he sees online and then chooses to say a one word, hey, he doesn't respect himself. He's comfortable with doing that. It doesn't right. mean that he's sitting there super secure in himself and like all the women that are worthy of him will flock. It's like, no. A man that has self-worth will present himself in a respectful way. So I think we need to reverse our thinking on that a little bit too.
And, you know, you nailed it, the whole self-respect, you know. So here I am, you know, if I'm in my 40s, I might have had a multi-decade relationship mm-hmm. and I'm now coming out of it. And maybe, you know, I met said individual in high school or college. So mm-hmm. I don't really know what I want. I don't even know how I want to be treated because I might have been treated a certain way for so many years that I've just become, you know, conditioned to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I know through your program, you help, you know, women take that big step back to be like, what are your boundaries? Like, what will you allow and what won't you allow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say to women that are coming out of a multi-decade relationship, I hear so many people go, I don't know what dating is like anymore. They feel like they almost have to educate themselves again.
Yeah.
And I tell them, no, you don't, there's nothing you need to learn because you know how to build relationships. And dating is just spending time with someone and getting to know them. There are no rules. There's no new trends. There's no new trends in building foundations of friendship and trust and, you know, compatibility. It's like you meet somebody, you're compatible, you enjoy time with them, you hang out, you have experiences together. And this is the biggest thing that I want to scream it from the rooftops that like when you're dating, you should be having fun.
Yes.
And the guy should be wanting to take you places and have experiences. It's like dating isn't, if he's focused on how much money a date costs, then he's the wrong guy. And I've asked, I can't even tell you how many guys, who should pay for the dates? The guys will tell me, the men. I've even asked gay men, who pays for the date? One dude pays. They'll say, whoever asked the other one out. I'm like, so even when it's two dudes, one dude pays. And they're like, yep. Like, this is so crazy. So I think that we can just say, sorry, guys, I know it's, you know, we're going into 2020. However, it's the guy should be courting you and taking you out on dates because he should be excited about spending time with you. And this is his way of, it's like, this is his way of getting to have the adventure. So if the cost of the event is his focus, he's lost sight of the value of the whole process. It's like, right. You know, if I'm going to a Broadway show and I just focus on the price of the ticket, I'm not going to enjoy the show. So I'm the wrong person to go see a Broadway show. So just think of it that way. Like, you're the main attraction. If he's still looking at the ticket for the price on the ticket stub, he's not in the game. He's not on the adventure. He's not ready to have a good time and say, let's go do things together, get to know each other and have fun. That's what should be going on. And through those experiences, you should be building trust and compatibility. And there shouldn't be any kind of, oh, he hasn't texted me back, or I haven't heard from him in 3 days. That these are major red flags that you go, okay, wait a minute. This person is not on the adventure. We're not spending time together. We're not having fun. As soon as the fun stops and fear creeps in, you know immediately there's something wrong. And that's volumes of content that I could go on for days about, but that's the short version that we should immediately. I had a client the other day. She goes, she was just going on and on about a guy. And she's like, you know, I'm not asking for a lot. And I said, you know what? Yeah, you are. Hmm. A relationship is asking for a lot. We need to be looking at this going, this is the big deal. If we're going to go all in and this is going to be a full-on committed relationship, we're asking for a ton. Right. Because we're going to give a ton. They're going to give a ton. This is a huge commitment. So if a guy's like, oh, no, man, be like, yeah, maybe you should think about that, bud, because this is a huge deal. It's not a small thing. We are asking for a lot, and we should feel good about asking for a lot because we're prepared to give the same, you know?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, when you talked about that, it's like equal energy should be in the date. Mm-hmm. And, you know, energy, both from a monetary perspective, but also energy from a, do you want to be sitting across from me?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you shouldn't even feel like you have to question it. You know, it should just feel like I'm not even, the thought isn't even crossing my mind. However, if you want that equal energy feeling, if you want to sit across from somebody and feel enthusiasm, like when you get ready for a date, you should be smiling, have a glass of wine before you go out, turn on some music, meet them. Hey, how's it going? Like you want to be the most comfortable in your own skin. That's how you are going to be the most beautiful. It's not about being something that some dude on some Instagram tells you to be. Right. That dude is speaking for himself. I always say one penis does not represent all penises.
Exactly.
This is not a politician here. He's not representing a group of people. This is one dude. So it's like, I want to tell those guys, oh, I'm so sorry, Peanut, as my sister says, but you're just one man. And it's always the guys that they want to believe that guys are motivated by sex or whatever. It's like they're motivated by that. So they hope that other guys are just like them. And so they are very compelling and they're believable that, oh my gosh, this must be how men think because this man is telling me this. It's like, I'm one woman. I don't know what you think. You know what I mean? Like, right. I can't say, well, we're both women. So I think we both think the same way about men and relationships. I have no idea. I would have to sit down and talk to you because I think we could be completely different in a lot of aspects. We could have similarities, but so we need to remove the idea that one man, Dr. Phil or Steve Harvey or, you know, all these guys, love them to death. We can take nuggets from them, but mm-hmm. we cannot blanket them into, okay, I'm going to go by like the Steve Harvey Bible and this is how men think. You know, Steve Harvey is kind of old school. He comes from a men are motivated by sex kind of a thing.
And he was a comedian for a million years.
I know. And you know, like, I don't know. I love Steve Harvey, so I hate to like, you know.
No, I love him too. Like, he has some practical things, but at the end of the day, you're like, you were a comedian for a really long time. So how much of this was material that you just kind of unpacked?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he appears, let's just say for the conversation, I haven't really researched, but he appears to really love his wife, right? So yes, he's committed absolutely. And she seems like, you know, he jokes about how you can kind of tantalize a man with sex or, you know, his book, like Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Right. So, but why am I thinking like a man? I shouldn't have to think like a man, but he's trying to, all of these books are like, get inside of a man's mind. And
right.
Why are we doing this? We don't have to do this. Married women don't get inside the man's mind because then we're trying to manipulate and control a response. This isn't how we become a team player with our significant other. It doesn't, if this were really the case, then women would be master manipulators,
right,
trying to get men to do what they want them to do. And that's not really being authentic. You wouldn't have true intimacy with your partner. You wouldn't have, like, everything's got to be out on the table. If you're happily married, I guarantee you, if I talk to you about your marriage, you say you're happily married, you probably have no secrets from your husband, right?
Nope.
It's just like open book. You can talk about anything.
Yeah.
And I bet if I could sit at your kitchen table, I could sit there and talk to your husband just like we're talking right now.
Oh, yeah.
He could probably be on this podcast.
Totally. And as you said that, like, I remember like my dating years, and they were challenging because the whole time you're like, you're taught, how can I get this person to like me?
Mm-hmm.
Versus for me, I am like the queen of like, I'm just me. Like I can't be a actress for very long. Mm-hmm. It shows on my face. And yeah. And I feel like on both sides, because of the way dating has turned into, like with the whole apps, like I have to have this projection of being whatever I think someone might be attracted to. And it, mm-hmm. and it's not just women. I think men too. Like I might have to look adventurous, or I might have to be bookish, or I might have to be whatever I think is the in way to be in order to get a date.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's, you will get a date, but you'll get a date with what I call the gumball guy, the guy that's seeking attention. So he will, the guy that seeks that sugar high, that rush. So that's the concept that I created out of this whole thing. You will get, if you are trying to be somebody different, you will get a guy that will recognize that insecurity. And then he will love the fact that you're trying to be everything for him. And then he will eat up all of that attention, because if we're trying to be something for someone else, we're being overly complimentary, we're being overly accommodating, and we're validating that person, and we're, yeah, oh yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And we're not being ourselves. So when we're being, there was some comedian that said, imposters, party of two, imposters, party of two for people on first dates. And so, yeah, we are being imposters. And so that fake interaction is a lot of times what creates that false sense of romance. Cause then you, all of a sudden the guy that you're losing yourself a little bit in that process too, because now the guy's really attracted to you and you might be really physically attracted to him, and you could have physical chemistry. So this is when it gets confusing. So it's like, okay, I'm really attracted to him. We have physical chemistry. And it's not like you're consciously going, yeah, I'm really going to fake who I am and be who he wants me to be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're just kind of doing it like, We're being overly agreeable, and because we don't know who we are, really. It's kind of weird when you think about it. Like, we're all walking around strangers in our own body, mm-hmm. not really knowing like who the heck we are, what we really believe, what our non-negotiables are, because we're so afraid, like you said, to repel someone, that we don't ever get firm and secure on who we really are, what we believe. And we're not like, hey, you know what? If that bothers you, then that's good for me to know now, because yeah. I can't be married. I mean, think about it. Like, you're married. You can't be married to somebody that you're not morally like on the same page, or you can't have somebody in your house every day that isn't going to be someone you're completely comfortable with.
You're right. Or even have those, you know, early on awkward conversations. So when I was back dating, I knew I did not want to have kids. Like, from forever, I knew I didn't want to have kids. And, you know, you have this, you know, people, that's what you talk about on a date. And mm-hmm. I remember I would be like, you know, I don't want to have kids. And some people would look at me like I told them I worship Satan. And mm-hmm. other people would be like, oh, well, you know, and it would open up a good conversation. And I know of plenty of women who didn't want to have kids, didn't tell their intended spouses. And then it became a very awkward conversation 5-6 years down the line.
Yeah. Well, that was okay. So tell me more about that. Why didn't you want to have kids?
You know, I still to this day, I really can't like articulate it. I never had that like maternal pull. You know, I've mm-hmm. had all of my friends were like, oh my God, I can't wait to be a mommy. And I'm like, I can.
Yeah.
And so of course, when you say you didn't want to have kids, it was like, well, then you hate kids. No, I just didn't want them in my house. Love kids. Like mm-hmm. if you have kids, I love them. Like I have no problem with you being a mommy. It was me being a mommy.
Mm-hmm. And see, you knew that and you stayed true to it. So you told your husband, how long have you been married?
I've been married for 18 years.
And you told him 18 years ago you didn't want kids.
Well, we've been together for 25. So I told him 25 years ago that I didn't want to have kids.
Okay. And he was okay. And he didn't want them either?
No, he was like, he was on the fence.
Okay.
And I'm younger than my husband. So everyone was like, oh, well, you know, she says she doesn't want kids, but she'll change her mind. And he's like, she doesn't seem like that kind of woman. Mm-hmm. And then then he would be like, oh, when I turn, he goes, you have until I turn 40. And then that came and went. And I still to this day, really, I don't regret the decision not to have children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I agree with you. Children are great, but it's a major responsibility and it's not a baby. You're creating a human being that's going to grow up and live a full, complete life.
Right.
Like, and if you don't feel like that's what you're supposed to do, God has a different plan for you. And so if you don't have that desire, I believe when we don't have that desire, it's because our life, the plan for us on this earth does not include that another bringing in another person. God has a whole different structure, a whole different idea for you. So if you had a child, it's going to derail that, or it's going to, I don't want to say derail that, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes it's just not part of the plan. You're supposed to help other people. You're supposed to do other things. And I mean, just like Oprah, who is our go-to example, but you know, she didn't have children, but then she started a whole school.
Yeah.
And how many kids has she helped because she didn't have children of her own. So she was able to create a show that changed millions of people's lives. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like, having kids is not the only way to have a life that's meaningful.
And I feel like, you know, I'm a child of divorce. And so I think about my parents got married in the 60s, they got married in the late 60s. And that's what you were told in the late, our parents, our grandparents, you were told like to have a great life, you got married, had kids, and you rode off into the sunset.
Yep.
And now, I feel like in the last probably 30 years, all of those people who had those fairy tales, they realize like, this ain't my fairy tale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, amen to that.
I don't want this. And so, I find that, especially at this age, I have women that fall into two camps. I have women who are like, hey, I wanted a career. And so men were kind of like, yeah, we can date here and there, but like it wasn't my intention to ever get married, have babies, and ride off into the sunset. Or you did that, you rode off into the sunset, and you're like, this sunset sucks.
Mm-hmm. Sunset sucks. Yeah. Yeah, I think that the fairy tale is such a, it's kind of like a, it's a knockoff of what the reality should actually be portrayed. It's like, I mean, it's a movie idea, right? Because, when I first started studying for the Gumball Love concept, I was like, why are we so tricked by these guys? And I realized that fantasy was the biggest player in that, where the romantic idea sells us on the happily ever after. So the gumball guy, the one that loves attention, gets high in the beginning of the relationship, which looks like every guy in every movie we've ever watched. So we are so tricked by that. And we think, oh my gosh, I remember dating this guy and we would say, we have movie love. I mean, we actually said those words, so gross, but we did because we thought we were just so romantic and so incredible. And we were amazing. And all these happily married people were super boring, right? And then now I realize, wow, the happily married people that looked boring were actually having the richer, more, it's like the tortoise and the hare, right? Like the rabbit is jumping all around and it seems very exciting, but the turtle's just taking it easy one day at a time and enjoying and being present in the moment and like doing the journey. Where the rabbit's just all over the place getting exhausted. And we all know the end, the tortoise wins the race because, the rabbit's all over the place and not focused and jumping around to try to find getting distracted, right? And chasing every gumball, every sugar high. And so the fairy tale is just that. We think it's just like a drug, right? Like heroin or meth, where we think it's going to be so great every time. We think it's going to last forever every time. And we don't, we're never really taught that a relationship isn't going to be exciting all the time.
Right.
It's not going to be a fairy tale, but that it's okay, because what is the reality of it? Because sometimes I think people say, well, marriage isn't a fairy tale, and then it gives it sort of a bad brand. But actually, it's like, no, a good marriage is a healthy partner that's there for you consistently, that doesn't cheat on you, that is supportive of your dreams. You know, all those things, it's very, there's such misinformation around real and good relationships that happy couples, I feel like, just get overlooked, and the fairy tale still outshines the whole picture, which is just sad, because it's a fraud when you really think about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's kind of like those people who, you know, all they want to do is get married. All they want to do is get married. And then they don't think about the post wedding. And, you know,
right.
Marriage isn't like, you know, like sitting on the couch and eating popcorn and watching movies all the time. Like, it's sometimes like you're cleaning up fucking shit.
Yes. And
that's the last thing you like, that wasn't in the book. Like, that wasn't right. The Hallmark movie. Or you're having an argument over, you know, your brother-in-law, or you're having an argument over, you know, something, you know, your kids or whatever. And that's not what's sold to you in, you know, the Hollywood ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when those things happen, we don't know how to deal with them.
No.
We don't, like, people that have been in gumball love relationships where everything's like sugar high after sugar high, then when conflict comes up, a lot of times the gumball guy, or even those of us girls that have only dated these gumball guys that are just looking for these sugar highs, when the sugar high goes away and then there's actually a real argument or a conflict or a disagreement, they think that it's relationship ending. Mm-hmm. They think, well, okay, I guess if we're fighting, then it's over. And the guy will ghost. He will stonewall. He'll go quiet because he doesn't know how to work through conflict. And so I always refer all of my girls to the Gottman Institute.
Oh, yeah.
The Gottman Institute, they have this. I'm so glad I can just be like, and let's refer to the Gottman, so I don't have to do this whole part of the research. They know exactly what goes into a healthy marriage. I mean, they have it perfected literally down to the science. And it's so interesting. There's so much to go into there. But that they have really figured out what makes happy couples, and conflict resolution was one of them, and being able to talk to each other and not name call, but being able to work through those things. And so if we knew, okay, we're going to have conflict, I'm actually working with girls in my academy right now where we talk about this. We do weekly group coaching calls, and there's the Gottman book called 8 Dates out right now. It's such a great book. It talks about the 8 conversations. I don't know. Do you know about this book? You and your husband would love it.
I don't know about the book, but it's so funny about Gottman. One of my clients is a marriage therapist.
Oh.
And just as you described, like, Gottman is his Bible.
Oh, nice.
Gottman, yes. And the 5 love languages. He's like, mm-hmm. That's like his, like, kind of like his pinnacles of how he works through, helps people work through marriage troubles.
Yes. Yeah. I think if you have a good guy that is willing to work on the relationship, then the 5 love languages are great. But if you tell a gumball guy your 5 love languages, he's going to tell you his. He's going to be like, yeah, and mine are, because he's not really interested in giving. He needs to receive all the time. And so some people ask me, well, can I tell my gumball guy my 5 love languages? And it's like, he has one language. It's attention.
Right.
And he wants attention all the time, where you're asking for quality time, and quality time can mean I'm going to sacrifice my needs to make this person happy and be there for them. And that's the part that a lot of these people just cannot do. And we want to love them, and we want to change them, but they don't know how to show up that way. And it's not because we're doing something wrong. It's just because their self-esteem is so low that they're always seeking validation, and they can't make real connection. And so when you can't make this 8 Dates book shows, this is for actually people that are in relationships, but I tell my single girls, the best books you can read are How to Have a Great Marriage.
Yeah.
Because if you know how to make a great marriage, then you'll be on dates going, oh yeah, this, there's no way this dude has.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my biggest hack. Yeah.
And it's funny that you said that, because I, you know, I remember when I was dating, and, you know, of course you're single, so you know, all of your married people are like, so why are you single? And like, you just want to like throat punch them. You're like, shut the fuck up. Like,
well, it's because being in a relationship has been sold to us as like, if you're single, there's something wrong with you. And if you're in you're in a relationship, you're okay. But 50% of marriages end in divorce. Second marriages are 65% divorce, and third marriages are 75% divorce rate. So the more you get married, the worse you are at relationships. So it's not the pinnacle. It's not the standard of success. So I think if you're single and you are listening to this kind of conversation, I think those of us that are single, and we're single for a variety of reasons, but if you're single, you didn't settle. One.
Right.
You know, you didn't settle for the wrong person. Or if you've left someone, you've made a decision to care about yourself and love yourself. And also, there's a lot of things to do in this world.
Yes. Like,
you decided not to have kids, and you have this whole calling on your life to do things. I have a calling on my life. I did not have children, but I have spent so much time with kids. I've taught Bible study classes for years, and I was a cheerleading coach, and I worked with high school kids. I mentored a girl in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and now I work with thousands of women. And you know what I mean? So like, I feel like, I feel like my work with children is not done. Like I love working with children, and I thought I would have kids, but when I started really getting to know myself, I thought, you know, do you really want kids? Like, is this something that you want, or are you feeling like you should?
Right.
So there's pressure there by society, but do you really want a child of your own? And you know what? When I got really honest about it, I actually feel, I just got chills in my fingers. I just know I'm going to adopt. I know I'm going to adopt. And I sense older children that I would bring into a home, not babies, or maybe it is a baby. I don't know, but I think it's adoption more than it's having my own children. So that could be, that's what's like, that resonates with my heart. And so that's what I mean about getting clear about who you are, because my husband could be a guy that's like, I really want to adopt, and not everybody wants to do that. So like, if I come to the table and I say, I know that I'm 42, but I still want to adopt kids. And I maybe want to adopt a kid that's like 7, who maybe was in a bad home. And then he's like, I want to do the same thing. You know, if you really know who you are and you can be upfront with it, then you will find somebody that works with, you know, it'll just be like, oh my gosh, we totally agree on this. And then things click together in a way that if you were like trying to pretend that you wanted kids still, or you wanted to, I don't want to have a baby in vitro. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to my body. I don't want to put the hormones in. For me, it's not for me.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I didn't even want to freeze my eggs. I was just like, I don't know. I just don't like that. That doesn't sound appealing to me. But if it does for somebody else, then that's what you have to do. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, no, I want to freeze my eggs. I totally feel like I'm going to have a child, and it's going to be, this is how I'm going to do it. And I feel like I need to do this. And I feel like I need to, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to, when you start really connecting with who you are, then there's going to be a sense of urgency that you really are like, oh yeah, this totally feels like what I'm supposed to do. So I geek out about that stuff, because I feel like we really are here for a reason. And once we connect with that, then all those society pressures, you know, you just look at people go, well, you might be feeling pressured by society, but I'm not, because I know I'm congruent with my purpose and why I'm here and what I'm here to do. And then you start really getting fulfilled by that work, and then everything clicks.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a good place to kind of start to kind of like wind down our conversation, because you're absolutely right. I feel the society pressure tells us that we should have a mate. So if the person, you know, you can tolerate him, doesn't smell bad, doesn't snore, you know, sign him up. Like, let's round him up and let's, you know, have a relationship. And I know I see it with my clients, and you see it with your clients. Like, you're trying to make this like round hole fit into a square peg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With, without taking the step back. And I laugh because, like, you know, this is before I was like into mindset and anything like that. And I remember before I met my husband, I said, the person I'm with only needs three things. They need to have nice teeth, nice hands, and not work in the service industry.
Okay.
Because at the time I was a waitress and I was dating a bartender and it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm done with people in the service industry.
The service industry is bad.
Right. Yeah. You know, and plus I was 22. So what do you know at 22?
Yeah. Well, and we do that. Like we put people in stereotypes because we've had bad experiences. I mean, we do this all the time. I had this one gal, she was my housekeeper, but it was like her side hustle. And she was a bodybuilder. And she was like, I'm just done with Puerto Rican men. I'm like, but you're Puerto Rican. She's like, I know, but I'm like, all Puerto Rican men are bad. She was like, they are not all bad. She's like, oh girl, you don't even know. I mean, she was like, just convinced of it.
Sit down.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not a certain type of guy. It's not blue collar. It's not white collar. You know, like dudes will date a redhead and like redheads are crazy. And all like, although redheads do have that crazy, I don't know why I want to be a redhead so bad. Maybe I would be in that crazy. Maybe I'm secretly crazy. And I'm always like, envious of redheads. But anyway, so like, yeah, we want to put all these things into stereotypes, but really people, there are good people and there are bad people. It doesn't matter what they do for a living, what industry they work in, there's always going to be a mixture. And so we have to just get clear on who we are.
Right.
And then you will find that you're looking for what you're looking for, but it does not designated by type or, you know, like service industry. There are good people in the service industry.
There absolutely are. And, you know, I laughed because it's like at the time of so many of my really good friends were in the service industry. So yeah. It was like, it was my way of like escaping out of the service industry. But
yeah,
I think many people, even if it was just those three things, it kind of helped me get focused on like what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And from what you're saying is that I don't think many of us take the time to get focused. Cause like when you sit down and you fill out that dating application, you fill out that dating app, you didn't take the time to be like, do you really like long walks on the beach? Or are you just saying that because you think it looks good?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know we were talking about this in the academy. I was like, you know, I do like the beach, but I much prefer being in a like deep into the forest where the trees are huge and like almost like in the movie Twilight, where it's just like really, and I don't even mind if it's cloudy like that. Like to me, that's just cozy. Like that to me is much more relaxing than being on the beach. So is that like, and sometimes you're like, but the beach is the beach, right? I mean, it's so serene and it's so beautiful, but I was like, be honest with you, the ocean sound gets annoying to me after a while. Like I've been in hotels on the beach. I've thought I'm going to crack the door and I'm going to fall asleep to the ocean. And finally it just sounded like, right. And I was like, and I would get up and close the door and I would feel guilty about it. Like what is wrong with me? I don't like the sound of the ocean. And one of my girls actually lives on the beach in California. And she goes, Melissa, we actually complain about the sound of the waves here. She was like, I was telling my neighbor, like, are we actually complaining about the sound of the ocean right now? And I was like, it is annoying. Like, and to certain people and other people, it's the best sound ever. But then the conversations just become so much more interesting when you really just admit who you are, you know, but you have to figure it out first. And so that's what I think is so fun. And I think anyone can do it. Happily married, like go back through all of your interests and just think like, what's an area I haven't really what's explored, you know? And these are things you can do as a couple and it makes you more interesting to your significant other too. If you explore things or you start doing a new hobby and then your husband's like, what are you doing? Oh, that's cool. You know, you start taking dance lessons or you go paint something or you go build something. Like you go to a pottery class or you start reading about architecture, whatever. I mean, there's so many things. So if we start really exploring our interests, we become interesting. And then we're so enthusiastic and we can talk about so many different topics because we are genuinely interested in them. And we really love talking about that. And we're not sitting there we're not sitting there pretending to be interested in things that we really know nothing about.
Yeah.
And yeah. And on the flip side of that, if someone brings something up now and I really have no idea what they're talking about, even in business meetings, even if it's an acronym, if I hear an acronym, because I have a full-time job, I work for a bank, and I'll hear an acronym. I've been in the industry for so long. I'm like, I have no idea what that acronym is. And you know what? Sometimes it's just some dude trying to be cool saying an acronym that really isn't an acronym. You know, we do on the BWF and the CYP. It's like, what are you even saying, dude? So I'll be like, I'm sorry, what is BWF and CYP? I don't know that term. And then or on a date. Okay, so tell me more about that. I've never heard of that before. If you've never heard of it, just say you've never heard of it. Right. Don't act like you don't know. You know, you don't have to know everything. And it's so liberating to just be like, and if someone's like, you don't know about XYZ, yeah, I'm so sorry. I've never heard of that kind of cheese. I've not heard of lettuce referred to that way. Like, sorry, I missed that part of class. And just let yourself be silly. Let yourself be naive. Let yourself be really smart in a certain area. You know what I mean? Like, it's so liberating. And I think single people need to live like this for a while and get really like, don't rush your single life. Take a minute and be like, okay, this is what it means to date yourself. Dating yourself is not going to a restaurant, sitting there looking around, slurping on some drink, like feeling like a weirdo. That's not dating yourself. Dating yourself is going and trying things you've always wanted to try, exploring things you've always wanted to explore, really getting into things you love and you're interested in, finding out that you hate that thing that you thought you were interested in, whatever it is. But that's what the dating process is like for yourself. So then when some guy's like, hey, do you want to go have sushi? I'm like, ooh, I can go to a sushi place, but I'm not going to be eating raw fish. But I do love soy sauce and rice. Like, it's my job. So I will eat that. You know, like, that's right. Like really who I am. Like, I'm not going to eat raw fish, but I'm totally game on going. And I know exactly how I feel about it. But it took me a long time to just say that those things. You know what I mean? It was just, it's been a long journey of feeling completely okay just saying who I am and being who I am. And so, you know, some of us have been through a lot. We've been through really tough relationships. We've been through abusive relationships where it has beat us down, and it takes a while to rebuild. And I just want to encourage any woman listening to give yourself that time, that it's okay to rebuild. There is no, throw that clock that's ticking away. There's no clock that's ticking.
Yeah. And I think that's just like, you know, dating is just like dieting, you know. Just because you haven't hit your goal doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And, you know, or I remember I was in high school and this girl was like, by 25, I'm going to do this. And by 35, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, that's just not how life unfolds.
Right. Exactly. I love that. Just because you haven't hit your goal doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Right. And dieting and exercise, and it's really building your lifestyle. Right. So if your lifestyle is like, I always think of like, okay, if I'm a really fit person, and like last night I was walking home, like, oh, I would love to order tacos or a pizza. But I was like thinking, okay, well, a really fit person, what would they eat? And I came home and had the soup that I hired someone to prep my food for me, and she prepped this really good soup. I was like, why would I have not eaten the soup? But I had that momentary temptation. So the lifestyle, you have to build the lifestyle around being healthy, being fit, making those better choices. And the same goes for dating, right? Like, I know this guy's really cute and he looks like he might be fun for one date, but that one date might lead to me having sex with him that might give me an STD, and it's not worth it. So I'm going to say no, because he said, sup, and he ignored me for 3 days, and then he's like, oh, hey, sorry, been busy. You know, like, you got to let that guy go. That the girl that respects herself and shows up and feels good and is high vibe and has a good relationship with God, she does not date that guy. So we have to think, like, the healthy, fit girl has her green smoothie, you know, like, she makes those better choices for herself. And sometimes we have the tacos and we have the pizza, because I think we should do that too. But you know what I'm saying? At all, like, this is about building the lifestyle that you feel good about. And if you feel good and you're like, this is totally me, I feel awesome, I feel like I'm right in the right track, that's the kind of change I want to see women make. Don't go do something because Steve Harvey told you to do it. No, you do what feels like, okay, this is what makes me feel really good about me. Just me, not consulting anyone else, but man, I feel great when I work out. I feel great when I go steam. I feel great when I go help somebody do something. You know what I mean? Like figuring all those things out. And then you show up on a date, how to attract men, you're going to be shining like a beacon. You know, like you don't need, women have been attracting men for centuries, not reading any self-help books, you know? So it's like, especially, we walk in a room and we attract men.
Right. Especially compared to, you know, all the other women who are out there who are reading those books saying, here are the rules. Here are the 10 ways to, like, you know, crush online dating.
Yeah, I know. And I look back, like, you know, men's style, yes, it has changed over the years, but for women, it's changed way more. Like, men have been attracted to us with ridiculous eyebrows. Men have been attracted to us with virtually no eyebrows. And now we have really amazing, like, super dark eyebrows again. Like, and our hair has been giant in the 80s and then not so giant. And then we were wearing bell bottoms at one point, like, all the time in the 70s and then in the 90s. And, like, guys just went with it. Like, it was never like, oh, that was the time when men weren't attracted to women. It's like, no, I mean, you can wear a potato sack. And I mean, I just think of it like, think of the guy you've been wildly attracted to. He can have a little bit of BO and you're like, I do smell the BO, but I'm still into it. You know, like there's nothing that's going to stop it. Once you're in and you get attracted to somebody, it's the way they talk, the way they move, the way they sound, the way their hair lays. I mean, the way their voice sounds. It's like, we don't need any help with attraction. It's there or it's not. So that part I think is just a given. And I always tell girls too, as far as weight, if you lose weight, then you're going to lose a section of men that were attracted to a woman that was your size before. So there's a guy that's looking for a size 14. And if you become an 8, there's also guys that are looking for 8, but then you're just shifting your market, right?
So
there's men and there are all of those. Yeah.
Because I do have women who come to me and they're like, oh, you know, I want to start dating again and I want to lose weight. But I was like, okay, are you afraid to date so that you're just putting this weight as your obstacle, or do you truly want to lose the weight?
Because it doesn't become your lifestyle if you're doing it for an end result.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go on one or two loser dates and then you're like, what did I do all that for?
Yes. Yeah, I know. Cause then you feel that hollow feeling, like, yeah. Cause you know, I went through a period where I lost 40 pounds and I realized that I did a podcast with a dietitian named Tony Marinucci, and we were talking about how the confidence doesn't come from the weight loss itself. It comes from all the little decisions that you make that created the lifestyle of being fit, like saying no to the tacos over and over again. That's what builds the confidence. Each little decision is where, but if I'm just short-term trying to work out super hard, thinking I'm going to go back to a tacos, pizza, nachos situation after I'm done, I'm not committed, you know? So it's just you're going to go back to where you were. So yeah, that's another podcast too.
Yeah, that is another podcast. This has been fantastic. And, you know, for those of you guys who are listening, I hope you've taken away some of the nuggets about, you know, what it takes to just be out dating in the, I guess, I don't know, is it the 20s? I don't know. How do you call this? The new millennia? I don't know to call it.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be going into the roaring 20s again. We'll actually have a name to our decade. So we're going into the 20s.
Okay. I'm going to call it the roaring 20s because, like, I have no idea what to call this. But as you go into the roaring 20s, you know, own who you are, right? It's not about changing you. It's not about changing them. Like, we don't need any more fucking projects. And, you know, if you are ready to get serious about dating, you got to look up Melissa, because she's done all the work. Like, she's going to help you unpack how do you approach this so that you are no longer, you know, dating the gumball guy. You're no longer dating the losers where you're sitting across from coffee being like, I'd rather be in my pajamas watching Hallmark.
Exactly.
So Melissa, I always ask, where can people find you on the socials?
So you can find me at gumballlove.com, or that's my website. Sorry, you asked me on the socials. So on Instagram, it's the Melissa Ledger, T-H-E-M-E-L-I-S-S-A-L-E-G-E-R. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/coachMelissaLedger. If you just put in Gumball Love, you'll probably find me. And I have a private Facebook group where you can come in. A lot of times people don't want to post their relationship stuff in a public page. So you can, there's a link to our private VIP group right at the top of my business Facebook page. So you can go there and join. And we also have a Back to You Academy membership. And this is the membership group where if you really want to do this, you're like, okay, I want to commit to this. I want to figure this out and I want to do it with someone guiding me. And we have an incredible group of women that are all in the membership. We have classes two nights a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. You come in, you talk about where you are. Everyone's in a different place, but everyone gets you. So if you're like worn your friends out with your single life, or you feel like you have all married friends that don't understand you, or you can't get over somebody and you're embarrassed. Like, I'm the girl you can tell me for the 10th time that you're still texting him. And I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're still texting him. Like, this is where we really get through those situations, and you have the time and the freedom to do it without judgment, so that you can become the best you, that you can get to know yourself. Cause it's a process. You know, it's not just something like you do for a weekend. I feel like this is why I created this whole support system, because I knew it takes a few months, or maybe it takes a year, to really go, okay, I guess I know myself now, or I really feel what it feels like to know who I am, and show up as that person and feel good about it. And that's my primary goal for everyone. And what happens after that, a lot of my girls, they do find relationships. Some are happily single, some are happily in relationships, some are engaged, like whatever course is right for them. Is, you know, that's up to them and God, and I don't interfere with that part, but I want to get you feeling like you are at your best and you're most confident. So you can find me all that information at gumballlove.com, or you can always just email me melissa@gumballlove.com.
And the last question I always ask all of my guests, what makes you feel magical?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me what would be my magical power? What makes me feel magical?
What's your magical power?
I had an answer for the magical power.
Okay, what's your magical power?
It would be to pause and play time. It's like, pause? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you just love to like hit pause and like get everything done, like write your book? And boy, people would be frozen in time for a while, because I would be like writing books, learning how to play. I would really want like, what was the Groundhog Day?
Oh my God, yes.
Can I just do all the stuff? I just want to get ahead. Yeah, I would love to be able to pause time and like catch up on things. And so that would be but I guess what makes me feel magical though is to me, the magical part is watching women see who they are and love themselves for the first time. That is something that I will never get over. It feels like the first time every time when I see those. And I see her change in front of me and see her soften and relax in her own skin. It's just like, and I can remind her, remember where you started? Look at you now. And they're like, yeah, it's so, oh, I just love that, because no one should go through life feeling like they're less, or that they have to be something for somebody else, that just you is enough. And when that finally resonates, man, that is magic for me.
Yeah, that's true. When someone who like doesn't think they'll ever find love, and they finally like it all clicks and comes together, and you get to see it unfold, that's just awesome.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. This has been a great conversation. I knew it was going to be.
I know. I'm so glad we fit it in. This is great. I had so much fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. And Magic Makers, I just hope that you've taken as many notes as I have. I'm happily married, but I might be doing some of this stuff with my husband later, just to be like, honey, we still happy? And then he's just going to roll his eyes at me.
No, he'll be in it. Get the book, 8 Dates. You guys will love going on these dates. It'll make your
marriage that,
even more. Yeah, it's awesome.
He always tells me, he's like, don't bring your work stuff into our relationship. And I was like, all right, it's happening, but subtly.
Yes, little by little. He won't notice.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I want you to enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.